Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, and I'll be reading this morning the first 11 verses. We won't be covering everything that is in all the verses. This will probably be our scripture reading for next week also. But this morning I'll be reading Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from the book of Philippians chapter 1. In the first 11 verses of this chapter, they are divided into three main sections. Verses 1 and 2 are Paul's greeting. Verses 3 through 8 are the thanks that Paul gives to God for the Philippians. And in verses 9 through 11, Paul gives his prayer for the Philippians. This threefold outline will give you a basic structure of the text, especially as we will be looking at it the next couple of weeks. Now, in our last sermon, we focused specifically on the first two verses, the greeting that Paul gives. And as you will see from this morning's sermon, we cannot begin in verse 3 without once again looking at these first two verses of Paul's greeting. For these verses are very carefully put together and very carefully connected together. The first thing that you must notice in these first two verses are the fact that it is filled with pairs. Pairs of names paired together. Some of these pairs are very obvious. Paul and Timothy. We have the overseers and deacons. And we have God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Obvious pairs within the first two verses. But as we take a closer look at these particular pairs, notice that in each one there is a dominant figure and there is a subordinate figure. In the first pair where it tells us there is Paul and Timothy, Paul is the dominant figure. He is the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Timothy is his servant. Timothy is his assistant who goes along with him and travels with him and assists him in his duties as God's apostle. In the second pair, we have the overseers and the deacons. The overseers are the dominant figure. The bishops, or as some of your translations have, the bishops or the elders, they are the dominant figures, and the deacons are the subordinate figures. They serve as deacons under the authority of the overseers of Christ's church in Philippi. And then as we move to the third pair, we see God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And God the Father is the dominant figure, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the subordinate figure. Now, before you raise your eyebrows at that, take note that I am not saying that the Son is not co-equal with the Father. But yet, as Paul describes in Philippians chapter 2, Christ does have a specific role. In Philippians 2, verse 6, we read that Christ, Paul writes of Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And in verse 11, it tells us that every tongue confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, each of these pairs has a dominant figure and a subordinate figure. And the subordinate figure is glorified through the dominant figure. As we have just read, every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. As Christ has lived his life here on this earth, it was glorified, glory to God the Father. They are connected together as a pair. The overseers and the deacons. Again, the deacons share in the glory of the overseers. Remember in the book of Acts, it tells us that God's apostles needed to ordain deacons to assist them in their ministry because their primary duties were the preaching and the teaching of God's word. And as the deacons functioned in their ministry as deacons, as servants of God, they shared in the glory of the office of serving as overseers in Christ's church. And as we look at the beginning of verse 1, the first pair, we said last time about how Timothy and Paul's names are put together next to each other in the book of Philippians. Paul does this specifically because as Paul finds himself in prison, Timothy is his assistant, and together they serve as God's apostle. Timothy shares in the glory of Paul's office of serving God as his assistant. These are some of the most obvious pairs in our passage, but there are more pairs in this first two verses than just these three. In fact, as we look at the last part of verse 1, notice this pair. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. The officers of Christ's church, the overseers and the deacons, are paired with the saints. The officers are the dominant figures, and the saints, Christ's church in Philippi, are the subordinate figures. But the saints are not mentioned here as being any less value than the officers of Christ's church, but they share in the ministry of the overseers and the deacons. There would be no overseers and deacons if there were not the saints. They share in the glory of the ministry of serving Jesus Christ. And that brings to mind the other pair that is in that phrase of this verse. To the saints, together with the overseers and deacons, in Christ Jesus. Christ's church, the officers and the saints are paired with Christ Jesus himself. Christ Jesus is the dominant figure, and his church is the subordinate figure, but they work together in sharing in his ministry upon this earth, and as they serve as saints and overseers and deacons in Christ's church, they share in the glory of Christ's ministry upon this earth. Well, notice, the first part of verse 1 is also a pair. Paul and Timothy are paired as servants of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the dominant figure. Paul and Timothy serve as Christ's servants as they share in the apostolic ministry, Paul's apostolic ministry. As they share as servants in Jesus Christ, they share in his glory, the glory of his ministry. And notice how in verse 1, Paul and Timothy, as the apostle, is paired with Christ Jesus, and the saints and the overseers and the deacons are paired with Christ Jesus. And that brings us to this last and final pair. Paul and Timothy, the apostle Paul, paired with the saints and the church in Philippi. The apostle is the dominant figure, and the saints and the overseers and the deacons share in their ministry, bringing glory to Christ Jesus. Now, as we look at these pairs listed out here in these first two verses, you may be asking yourself, why is this so significant? Why the need to point out these specific things and to recognize what Paul is doing as he writes his greeting? Well, now let us look at the thanksgiving. In verse 8, Paul tells the Philippians, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. God can register, some of your translations have. God can register, or God can testify. God is the witness of how Paul longs for the Philippians with the affection of Christ Jesus. Notice how carefully he's worded that. Paul is the apostle. He is paired with the saints and the overseers. He is the dominant figure, and he has great affection for the overseers and deacons and the saints in Philippi. But notice what the verse tells us. He longs for them with the affection of Christ Jesus. The affection that Paul has for them is the very affection of Christ Jesus. Paul and Timothy are paired with Christ Jesus. Christ is the dominant figure. Paul and Timothy are his servants, his subordinates, sharing in his ministry upon this earth. And as Paul recognizes his role as he serves Christ as his apostle, he has great affection for Christ's people, the saints in Philippi. And the affection that comes from Paul is the affection of Christ Jesus. The same affection that Christ has for his people is the affection that Paul has for his people. And as Paul functions as Christ's servant, as his apostle upon this earth, he is a visible reflection of the affection that Christ Jesus has for his people. As the people know Paul's affection for them, so they know Christ Jesus' affection for them. And God can testify to that very fact. Verse 8. God can testify or register how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. But notice, not only does Paul have the affection of Christ Jesus for them, not only does verse 8 tell us how closely as Paul the apostle is connected with Christ Jesus that the affection of Christ is the same. Notice how closely in these verses Paul is connected with the saints. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. Paul is so close to the saints in Philippi that he describes them as if he has them in his very heart. Not only is Paul closely connected with Christ Jesus, that the affection he has for them is the same affection as Christ Jesus, but Paul is so closely related to the saints of Christ's church in Philippi that he describes them as if they are in his very heart. They are one in the same. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you. Why? because I have you in my heart, as Christ has you in his heart. So do I, as your apostle, have you in my heart. In fact, so closely is Paul related to these people in Philippi that he goes so far in verse 5 to connect his entire ministry to them. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is in partnership with them in the ministry that God has given him. Paul, the apostle of Christ Jesus, serving Christ upon this earth, is in partnership with the saints at Philippi. The ministry that God has given Paul is the same ministry that God has given to the Philippians. He is in partnership with them. One is not greater than the other. Though one is the dominant figure and one is the subordinate figure, they are the same ministry, Paul declared. Now, you must keep in mind this morning how foreign this is to ministries in our day. As you drive down the street, or as you turn on your television, and you look at the various churches that are around, how many of them are not built around the pastor or the pastor's personality? The ministry is about him, about his church, about how many people he has in his church, about the great ministry center that he has been involved in building. Everything in that church surrounds the pastor and his ministry and what he has accomplished. Paul is the apostle in our passage. He is God's chosen apostle whom Christ appeared to on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. He has all the right to declare himself as Christ's apostle. And the people, as the saints, are part of his ministry. But do you see how Paul regards the saints in Philippi? He is in partnership with them. One ministry is not greater than the other. The things that they accomplish in partnership with him are equal to the things that he accomplishes as God and Christ's apostle. One is not greater than the other. And if you remember, one of the problems in the Philippian church is complaining and jealousy and envy and strife. Who is greater? Who has the right answer? Who knows what the Apostle Paul would have told us or what Christ would have won? I am right, you are wrong. Paul describes his relationship with his church as being in partnership with them, so close to them that they are equal in what they do with his ministry. One is not greater than the other, but they serve Christ together as partners in the gospel from the very first day that he arrived in Philippi until now. Now, not only does Paul describe them as partners with his ministry, but look what else he tells them at the end of verse 7. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. For whether I am in chains. Do you remember what Paul wrote about the Philippians at the end of the first chapter, verse 29? For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Paul finds himself in a Roman prison. He finds himself in chains. He has been arrested because he has been preaching the truth about Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. The Philippian church is also a church that exists within a Roman colony. They are suffering the same things that Paul is suffering because they love Christ, because they are in partnership with Him and in partnership with Jesus Christ here upon this earth. And because they are in partnership with Paul and partnership with Jesus Christ, they are suffering and experiencing the very same things that Paul is experiencing as Christ's apostle in chains in a Roman prison. That's how closely in partnership the saints in Philippi, Paul and Jesus Christ are. They suffer the same things that Christ has suffered. And if you remember, the church in Philippi is having a very difficult time with that. Paul is concerned about them because they share in his pain and in his suffering. And so what does Paul tell them in this verse 7? For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. If Paul is defending and confirming the gospel, people know all about God's grace. The Philippians are telling others about Christ Jesus, that He has risen from the grave, and they know and see God's grace when somebody believes. As Paul goes out throughout the world and he's planting churches and people come to believe in Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, he sees the evidence of God's grace working through him upon the people. But notice what Paul tells them. Whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Paul is in chains and in a Roman prison, and he is experiencing God's grace. God's grace despite the suffering, because he is identifying with Jesus Christ and his suffering. As the church in Philippi is persecuted for their faith, they are experiencing the grace of God through what they face, through what they suffer. Again, do you see what a foreign message this is for the church in our day? For in many, many churches, there is what we call the health and the wealth gospel. The idea and the promise that if you believe in Jesus, your life will fit together. The idea and the promise that if you know Jesus and just will believe in Him, everything will fit together. You'll be happy and God will bless you with whatever you desire. This is not Paul's message. This is not the message of Philippians or of Christ. For when you know Christ and when you serve Christ, when you're faithful to Christ, that's when things become more difficult. And there are many people out there who do not want to hear that. But Paul is not discouraged. As he serves as Christ's apostle, as the saints serve and share in his ministry, Paul thinks upon them with joy. Look at verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Some of you might say to yourself, how can Paul be joyful? Paul is in a prison. He finds himself in chains. Now he thinks about those saints in Philippi who are suffering the very same things. How can he be joyful about such a situation? But when he thinks upon them, and he prays upon them. He always prays with joy because of their partnership in the gospel. The joy that Paul knows is foreign to many people. For the joy that Paul has, despite the circumstances, is a joy that comes from his identity with Christ. The joy that Paul experiences and writes about in these verses are joy because he knows that he belongs to Christ. And he's comforting the Philippian believers, despite what they deal with in their life, with the joy of knowing that they belong to Christ. And the evidence that they belong to Christ is because they are identifying with him in his sufferings and in his life. And in these things, Paul finds joy. There are a lot of Christians who are not very happy. There are a lot of Christians who do not know this joy that Paul speaks of and that Paul writes about. The joy that Paul has is because his identity with Christ is so closely connected. Nothing else in his life matters. Because he has Christ, nothing else matters to him. That's joy. Paul could have looked at himself and said, "Oh no, here I am in this prison. Here I hear of my friends in Philippi, and this is happening to them. Woe is me. How terrible is my life. How awful is my situation." But Paul doesn't look at it that way. Paul has joy because he has Christ and the Philippian believers have Christ. Instead of focusing on himself and how woe is my situation, he focuses on Jesus and his resurrection. If you want to know true joy as a Christian, your joy is not rooted in the things that you may have, the things that you wish you could have, the things that you don't have. Your joy is found in knowing that you have Christ and your life is bound and rooted in him, and that you are in partnership with him here upon this earth, as you serve as a saint of his on this earth. And as you know that joy, and as you find that identity with Jesus Christ, the words that Paul writes in verse 6 come true. "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." As you hold on to Christ and his glory, as you hold on to Christ and the focus of your life is upon him, the good work that he began in you will continue until his return. For the Philippians, they longed for that day, to be delivered what they experience here on this earth and to be with him forever. As we read these verses in verse 6, that should be our hope. That should be our joy. That should be our longing. That Christ will complete that work that he has begun in each one of us. And when he returns, it will be completed. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for Paul's message to the Philippians. For, Lord, it lifts us out of ourselves. It lifts us out of our frustrations and difficulties in this life. And it points us to our resurrected Lord Jesus. It helps us to identify ourselves with him. For in him we find true joy. Not temporary joy, Father, but eternal joy. And Lord, for those of us here who struggle and who do not know this joy, we pray that you would help us to focus our thoughts upon him, to focus our thoughts upon the joy that he has given us, that he has provided for us. Help us to have the perspective that nothing else around us matters if we have Jesus. Comfort us, Father, and strengthen us. Help us to unite around him and to live our lives faithfully for him forevermore. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.